Pfizer's painful setback. From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon, in for Scott Jagow. Stock in the world's biggest drug maker, Pfizer, has been plunging in Europe today. Its shares have lost about 10% of their value after word over the weekend that Pfizer has had to scrap development of one of its most promising and potentially profitable experimental medicines. Pfizer had hoped the drug would raise levels of so-called good cholesterol, but an independent safety monitoring board cited increased deaths and heart problems in late-stage clinical trials. Analysts say loss of the drug leaves a huge gap in anticipated revenue, and the company will now have to try to fill that void by buying into other products. Weak manufacturing and construction indicators had Wall Street in the dumps on Friday. As a result, the Dow fell 27 points to 12,194. The Nasdaq lost 18 points to 2413. And the S&P slipped 3 points. It's at 1396. One of the country's biggest supermarket chains, Kroger, comes out with quarterly earnings today. Analysts expect the big grocery retailer to post $15 billion in revenue and a 12% increase in earnings per share. It's been able to do that even though the supermarket industry has become hotly competitive in the last few years. Diantha Parker looks at how Kroger has been able to keep up.
Kroger operates more than 2,500 supermarkets across the country, and many of those are so-called multi-department stores that sell everything from milk to televisions to jewelry. That means Kroger competes directly with Walmart, which is now the country's largest grocer, along with its biggest retailer. Morningstar analyst Mitchell Corwin says Kroger has countered by developing house brands in three different price ranges to lure discount shoppers.
That person can say, well, the Kroger is convenient, it's easy to get in and out of, and I'm not paying that much more for a product.
Corwin says Kroger also has full-service gas stations attached to 600 stores, more than any other chain. And it's good at using technology to target its best customers. If you spend $100 there in a week, he says, expect to get special coupons in the mail to bring you back. I'm Diantha Parker for Marketplace.
Down the dollar goes. Over the last couple of weeks, the dollar has been sinking fast. What does that mean? Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith takes a look.
The greenback isn't exactly in the pink of health these days. Alex Buslin is a senior market analyst with Roush International. He says the cooling U.S. economy has many guessing the Federal Reserve will cut interest rates in coming months, so investors aren't as quick to buy dollars as they once were. But he says don't expect policymakers to take action to prop up the weakening currency.
The Bush administration, of course, has been paying lip service to the strong dollar, saying that it is in country's interest that the dollar stay strong. But reading between the lines, it's quite clear that the administration is amenable to an orderly dollar decline.
Buslin says that's because a lower dollar will help shrink the U.S. trade deficit. It makes American goods cheaper overseas. But he warns a weak dollar could hurt the U.S. current accounts deficit. Our economy relies on investors using greenbacks as a safe haven. Anything that shakes their confidence in the dollar could spell trouble. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
And this is Marketplace. If you're a parent, you worry. That's your job. But it's also interfering with your other job, putting food on the table. Now there's a report that warns that's costing American businesses. From the Work and Family Desk, Hillary Wakay reports.
A new survey of employees at several Fortune 100 companies shows working parents of kids in grades 6 through 12 especially stress about the safety and reliability of the after-school arrangements they've made for their kids. Brandeis University and the research organization Catalyst cite estimates that workplace stress can cost U.S. companies $50 to $300 billion each year. Nancy Carter is with Catalyst.
This is a source of lost productivity that organizations can directly impact in ways that are not costly to the company.
One way is for companies to give employees more control over their work schedule. Another is to encourage managers to be more understanding. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wakay for Marketplace.
From American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management's Building Profit Through Building People, a new book on HR contributions to business success. SHRM.org.
This is Marketplace from American Public Media. I'm Bob Moon.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Can you imagine trying to unload all 28 million of your shares in General Motors and trying not to call attention to that massive stock trade? That was one of the problems billionaire investor Kirk Kerkorian had at the end of last week. He bailed out of his GM investment to the tune of around $800 million and apparently was still able to walk away with a modest profit. I asked Newsweek magazine's Wall Street editor Alan Sloan how Kerkorian was able to exit so gracefully.
Yeah, the amazing thing is he had roughly $1.7 billion of General Motors stock. You know, it was 10% of the company, and he managed to unload all of it within a matter of days without really driving down the price. I mean, here's one of the smartest people, one of the great legendary investors who buys into Detroit 18 months ago when nobody wants it, and he buys and sells and ends up basically treading water.
Well, what does this mean to GM in the future? Because his involvement really did help lift GM shares initially.
I'm sure at GM they're probably doing celebrations that he's gone. Because his associate, Jerry York, really woke up General Motors and really scared them. And I'm sure the guys at General Motors were thrilled when York left the board and wasn't there. You know, they didn't have to deal with him. And I'm sure they're doing handsprings because York and Kirk are gone. I'm sure they're thrilled.
Well, does it keep up the pressure in terms of the stock value, though, of trying to keep that up?
Well, this is not going to be good for the stock price. I expected the price to fall apart, but after these sales, but it hasn't, which shows how much I know. It also shows why it's good that I'm not a professional investor. But here is one of the smartest people who came in, saw a lot of opportunity, or so he thought, and he's taken his money off the table and is just walking away from it rather than hanging in. And that tells you something. It tells you that a Kirk, while he's almost 90 and has the longest time horizons of anybody, is not a man of infinite patience.
So what did he hope to gain with this exercise?
He hoped to make a lot of money. I mean, this is why you do this. He hoped to make a lot of money because he made billions of dollars. He did something similar in Chrysler, but stayed on and in the end forced the company to get sold and made billions of dollars. But I think what happened here is he and York felt, when they started doing this 18 months ago, that GM stock was very cheap relative to its assets, that the company had the potential to turn around and make a lot of money, and in the end, he couldn't change General Motors enough to do what he thought they should do, and he wasn't making any money. And he said, the hell with this, and pulled the plug on it. I mean, it's very mature on his part.
Alan Sloan, thanks for joining us.
Bob, it's been my pleasure.
Alan Sloan is Wall Street editor for Newsweek magazine. In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.